It's time to enter Mr. B's neighborhood. Scott Bertelson brings you an interview with a North Iowa neighbor each second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. Find this and other episodes of Mr. B's Neighborhood on our website, KIOW.com. Now here's Scott Bertelson, Mr. B.
Hello, friends. Guess where you're at? In Mr. B's Neighborhood. And as my favorite podcast announcer always says, Mark Maron, how are you? Did you put the cat out this morning? Did you clean the litter box? Did you look over the fence? Did you notice anybody besides yourself? Oh, my friends, there are many, many great people who are in my universe. And one has just appeared. Mary Beth Woolridge, the great Madame of Forest City. Oh, I made her laugh. I knew I could do that. She's a tough nut to crack. So, Mary Beth, if you can compose yourself, would you like to say hi to all the listeners here in Mr. Bertelson's neighborhood?
Good afternoon.
Mary Beth, what have you been up to today?
Well, to quote my youngest son, about 5'5".
All right, thank you. Well, that comedy routine is not going to take her to Vegas.
No, it isn't.
I hope that microphone is picking you up, Mary Beth.
I have absolutely no idea.
Okay, you don't like technology? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Oh, does technology like you?
I'm not sure.
Well, anyway, Mary Beth, I'm really glad that you have volunteered to be questioned by me about your living here in Forest City. You know, Mary Beth, I've known you for many, many years. And Mary Beth, you have always impressed me with your intellect, your cynicism, your and I meant that in a positive way. I did.
Okay.
Your view of life, your opportunity to tell things like they are. And that's why I wanted you to come on the program today. But I don't want you to tell me anything that I don't want to personally hear. So let's make that clear.
Take all the fun out of it.
That's my job. I'm a fun hater. So anyway, Mary Beth, how long have you lived here in Forest City? Or are you from this area?
I have lived here all but 7 years of my life, and those were the first 7 years I was married.
All right, and then where did you abide then? Where did you live?
4 years in Waverly and 3 years in Des Moines.
Okay, and what was the motivating factor to bring you and your husband back to Forest City?
A job.
I see. That would help.
A job and mm-hmm. starting a family.
Sure, absolutely. So, is there a reason, Mary Beth, this is basically a major theme of my whole series, I guess, is what has kept you here living in Forest City when you could have the opportunity to relocate to any exotic place you would possibly want?
Exotic? I don't know about that. I can't think of anything that is exotic about Des Moines, but what kept us here was that it's an excellent place to raise children. Mm-hmm. It was very good to my sons. My mother was here. Mm-hmm. And when things, if I may put it this way, went to hell in a handbasket, mm-hmm. there was a community behind us all the way. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it meant a great deal. Plus, my mother was here, and she never mm-hmm. thought she was helping, but just knowing she was back of me through some rather long years mm-hmm. was important.
Yes.
And now I can't imagine myself going anywhere else.
Okay.
Who else would keep you in line, Scott?
Well, the secret is out now. Anyway, so you had mentioned to me prior to our recording here that you have one of your sons living in West Des Moines with his beautiful wife and two beautiful granddaughters. Is that correct?
Yes.
No aspirations to relocate to Des Moines to be closer to them? No, yes.
And leave Carl.
That's it right there, isn't it? Yes.
No, actually, it has crossed my mind upon occasion over the years. Mm-hmm. I have some very good friends up in the cities, too, sure. that would appreciate my presence, mm-hmm. believe it or not.
I believe
but
it.
To be honest with you, yeah. here I'm located between yeah. those friends right. and Hugh mm-hmm. and the friends I have in Des Moines because I have a number of friends down there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Plus, mm-hmm. it's very expensive to live other
yes.
places.
Yes, it is.
And I'm mm-hmm. here, and I know what my budget is, and I'm staying.
Okay. So you're a lifer.
I'm pretty much a lifer.
Lifer. Yeah. Now, when you were growing up, Mary Beth, which community were you born here in the Forest City area?
Yes, I was.
I see.
In what for most of your time here was known as the Law Enforcement Center. It was
oh,
the
all right. Okay.
First the Irish Hospital and then the Forest City Community Hospital.
I see. Yes. Oh my goodness. Well, there's
second floor south end of the hall.
Oh my god. There's a historical lesson I wasn't ready for.
Has something to do with having worked there when I was
yes.
in one of my careers.
I see. Which is another question I was going to ask. Mary Beth, what are some of the projects, careers you've had throughout your, I don't want to say long life. I'm not going to imply
well, we'll
anything
hope
about
it. It's going okay. to be longer.
Yeah, oh, of course.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Let's always go for broke. But what are some of the careers you had?
Okay, I actually have a degree in English education. Mm-hmm. I taught for a couple of years there until we moved.
Okay.
I worked for the Office of Pastoral Care and Counseling for the Iowa Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church when I was in Des Moines.
You couldn't put that all on a T-shirt, could
nope.
you?
Nope, it was enough to have to say it.
Okay.
For a brief while, I was a medical record librarian at the local hospital. Mm-hmm. I have been a real estate appraiser. I've waited tables, which is fun, actually.
Mm-hmm. The interaction with people?
Yeah, mm-hmm. getting paid to, you know, chat. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm good at it. We all have our talents, and talking happens to be mine.
So you really enjoy the art of conversation.
Yes.
Yes.
I enjoy a very good conversation, yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there's a difference between talking and conversation.
Oh, absolutely. No question. No question. Do you have any barriers to that? Does it have to be in person? Are you okay with the texting or the FaceTime? Or does it have to be somebody sitting across from you?
Preferable is somebody sitting with you, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I have never had distance impede my ability to communicate.
Speaking of communication, now that we've known a little bit about your history when it comes to professions, talk about your involvement in the early days, the pioneer days of...
pioneer days.
A Brick Street Theater. How did that happen for you?
It was actually not long before we moved back when they first started doing it.
Okay.
They did a couple of plays. I think one was out at the country club.
Okay.
And I know that they were doing melodramas to go along with Frontier Days, mm-hmm. the predecessor to Pucker Brush Days.
Yes.
I like that name better, by the way.
Oh, amen. Is anybody anyway. Listening out there? Thank you.
Okay. Anyway. And actually, Jim was involved first.
Oh, okay.
They did a melodrama, mm-hmm. and they did it on the bandstand at the courthouse. Mm-hmm. Jim was the heroine. He wore a white dress and a full beard.
Never looked so good.
Never looked so good. Richard Peterson, who was county attorney, was the hero. He still had, and played, not the hero, the heroine's mother. And he also had a full beard. The hero's name, and I cannot for the life of me think of her name, little tiny, absolutely talented, cute little thing that was Miss Forest City, and I think she placed at the Miss Iowa pageant, I don't remember. Tiny little thing.
That could be a number of
people. I believe
people.
If you go back far enough, she might have been the one that played Peter Pan when they did it here.
Robin George?
Robin. There you go. Thank you.
And you thought I didn't have a memory.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's still up for debate. Anyway, and a young man by the name of Dave Schmidt, that you may remember as well.
Absolutely.
Was the villain. And as one person put it, when he saw his banker and his attorney in dresses up front, he wasn't sure he was in the right place. But after that, it was an opportunity for me to get away from three little boys.
Yes, yes. A creative escapism.
It was where I was the focus rather than than the auxiliary to everybody else.
Yes, yes. So how many, roughly how many productions were you involved in, either as an actor or, I don't know, did you try the directing? Did you do costumes? What were all the different hats you wore?
What didn't I do at
I
some
see.
Point? I was really good at scrounging.
Yes, yes.
No, I started out in Mousetrap, which they're going to do next fall.
Right, exactly.
There was only one part I was really suited for, and I practiced really hard. Got to tryouts. Sandy Peterson Gaston was the director.
Oh, yes, yes.
Stan and Darlene's daughter. And I had gotten the script, and I'd read very carefully, and I'd practiced on Jim, and I got to tryouts, and I started reading, and Richard Peterson started laughing. And it wasn't a funny part.
Oh, that was my next question.
No.
I don't remember much humor in that show.
No, I was playing a word that I can't use.
Oh.
Anyway, I got home and I was practically in tears.
Oh.
I got the part, by the way.
Good. So the tears were worth it. Yes.
And I asked Richard later on why he laughed. And he said, I didn't believe you could be that word. So.
And if you want more details, see Mary Beth in private. But that is all.
I might even spell it for you. I can spell that one. Anyway, apparently I had impressed him, and he had not anticipated that because he'd never seen me do anything before. Of course, started was in high school. And then when I was teaching, I directed one play because the director took a semester off.
Okay. So you've had this theater in your blood, so to speak, as an expression.
Oh, honey, I've always been on.
Yeah, you've always been. Have you ever thought taking your stories on the road, one-woman tour?
I did have somebody that once suggested that, I'm not sure that they're ready for old ladies with my sense of humor.
That sounds like a great title of a play.
Or my access to a fairly extensive vocabulary.
And then we'll leave it at that, folks.
Good idea, Scott.
So, with Brick Street Theater, which right now is just having a great...
They have people who know what they're doing. I'm amazed. We didn't know what we were doing. Yes, I directed because nobody else would.
Right, but think about how you laid the groundwork for what we have today, though, really. That's why I said pioneer.
For a while there, I suppose I was the only thing that kept it going through some hiatuses during the mid-90s. There's nothing because so many people had moved. And as you probably know, my attention was definitely elsewhere where it needed to be.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
And then must have been 99. I can't remember who came up with the idea that we needed to do something again, and I tried to get you to try out for...
I'm busy.
For Honey. I know you said that. You would still have made an excellent pseudolus. You wouldn't have been acting.
Oh! That's called typecasting, folks.
Yes. Funny thing happened on the way to the forum.
Yes. That was a fun show.
It was a fun show, and that's where I met Dr. J, and... Yeah, through that show.
Okay.
And then there was another little hiatus, and we did, Brick Street basically sponsored Christmas Carol that Troy Thompson wrote the script
for.
And I think I still have that, too. I'm not sure. And then another little hiatus, Pat Benda moved. She was part of the original group, and she was in charge of the money. And we still had a little money, so we managed to scrape it together, and I think that's when Linnea wanted to do something, and we had enough money to give her a little start.
Wow.
And since then, they actually know what they're doing. They're people who majored in theater.
Yes.
Not those who majored in surviving teaching.
And it's survival.
My first job was a real treat. My only teaching job was a real treat. I started on the 1st of March. The year before, at the end of the school year, I don't know if it's true or not, but they told me that, someone told me that the gal that had the class had retired to the state hospital in Independence. So they hired a man who was having trouble handling high school students, so he thought he'd try junior high. He made it to the end of the semester, and he wanted to quit, and they talked him into staying because it would look so bad on his employment record. He made it to the end of February. I started the 1st of March, and within the first, 3-4 minutes of the eighth grade section that I had, I knew where the problem was. There's still some of them I speak to, and actually they've turned into nice people. But
isn't that something, though?
They were way out ahead. The only thing I'm not sure that the school district wasn't actually betting on whether or not I'd make it for those 3 months. But I was hungry. I enjoyed living with Jim, and I enjoyed a roof over my head.
In that order?
No, we'll keep Jim first.
Okay.
No, it was a matter of survival.
Right.
Jim was still in school at Wartburg, so.
Sure. Sure.
It was an interesting experience, but I did teach after that.
Okay.
Same school district.
Okay, so you didn't let that discolor your enthusiasm for teaching?
No, actually, I have a theory that teachers are born, not made.
Don't you feel that's true for many callings in life, though?
I think so. And with teaching, even if you aren't teaching, even if you aren't being paid to, you find yourself trying to educate somebody about something somewhere along the line.
Yes, yes.
Even if it's only to say, I do wish they'd paid attention in English class.
I said that every day for 38 years.
I don't know how you survived.
I really enjoyed it, but I was oblivious to pain.
Talk about throwing out a line.
No, it really wasn't painful. That or I have thick skin.
Well, if it means anything to you, my dear, the people that I interact with who are of the right age to have been your students all absolutely adored you.
Okay, well, that took a lot of payments on my part.
I was going to say, how much did it cost you?
I have nothing left in my savings, but I have the satisfaction of knowing that people are saying wonderful things.
It's nice after that many years of being involved to have people actually still remember you fondly.
Yes, I will tell you.
Banes of my existence when I first started teaching sent me a friend request on Facebook.
Is that ironic?
And I think that he'd found something from those years. I think what he was doing was maybe it was an apology, I don't know. But he said he thought it was the best teacher he'd ever had. And I'm not knowing what I'm being compared to.
But I think, Mary Beth, to sum this part up of your interrogation, is that so many times these young people that we see in their awkward age, may we say?
Oh, trust me, middle school is.
Yes. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Blossom into these amazing human beings whom you will see randomly in a Walmart and come up to you and say, well, hello there. And you look at them and think, who is that?
Way too many names.
Way too many names. Yeah. Can you give me some clues? Can you help me out here? And then they change in shape and size.
I haven't, of course.
No, yours.
No, I still look like I did when I was teaching.
You're radiant. I'm radiant.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, you're welcome.
When do I pay you?
I gladly take it before you leave the building. And also, so what have you been doing in your so-called retirement then, Mary Beth, if you like that word or not?
I'm going to give you a really sassy answer.
Okay, I wouldn't expect any less.
Staying alive.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. My granddaughter in Des Moines is a delightful young lady.
Yes.
And I was down there all last winter helping supervise online kindergarten and reminded why it was I didn't go into elementary education. And she still likes me. I'm still an okay grandma. It's a miracle. Anyway, she was, and I love this story, and there are people who do not think it's funny at all, but I love this story.
Well, then we must hear it.
Hugh called, and he said that Abigail had a question for me. Mm-hmm. And she really needed an answer, and he thought I should give it to her instead of trying to give it to her. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she had just apparently found out how old I am.
Was it on the national news or something?
Yeah. I'm sure it was, because it's an important occasion. Nobody even remembers when it is.
Oh, okay.
But she was mystified, and she needed to know the answer. So she put her on the phone, and her question was, "Why aren't you dead yet?" "But it's almost 100, Grandma."
Now, how?
I couldn't answer. I was laughing so hard.
I was going to say, how would you have any kind of answer for that?
Well, it wasn't a serious one. I said,
no.
I've tried a couple of times.
Well, then you'd have to do some more explaining.
After that, it was, and you could tell by her voice,
precious.
She was truly mystified because she was just beginning to understand numbers. And
oh my God.
Numbers are, you know, and you know, it didn't follow logically.
She
mm-hmm. really was mystified, and she was terribly sincere. There wasn't anything rude about it at all. But her grandmother was laughing so hard she could hardly hear the child talk. I'm not sure everybody's grandparents would think that was funny, but I thought it was hilarious.
Well, then you just have a really good sense of your own mortality.
Oh, honey, I've come so close so many times that it's...
And you just keep bouncing back, don't you?
Going all the way back to high school and almost falling out of the tower at the knob in the middle of the winter.
Well, I don't know if we have time for that story today.
No, I don't think you do. You don't need to know whose birthday party it was.
Okay, so I don't know if Mary Beth, got to the point of asking about your hobbies and interests. What do you like to do when you're not helping your grandchildren?
Oh,
what's a typical day, if there's such a thing as a typical day?
Coffee.
Well, that's
anybody I can talk to. House cleaning is not necessarily part of a typical day. I do puzzles. Mother told me before she died to keep doing crossword puzzles and that kind of thing, which I do.
You do the 300, 500 piece puzzles that you put on the table?
We did one that was 1,500 once, never again.
Oh.
Yeah, it just, for one thing, it was there way too long.
Yes.
You had to, you know, spread a tablecloth over the puzzle in order to eat. But, and I recently found some old art supplies, and so I've started drawing again. Oh. And occasionally I write.
Mm-hmm. May I ask what kind of writing you do? Do you intend for it to be published, or is this more introspective?
Or posthumously, maybe.
Romance novels?
I never thought about that, Scott. Maybe I've got a career.
You could make big money.
Oh, maybe I could. Do I get more money if they're smutty?
I think there's a certain level of that you can have. I don't read them on a daily basis, but I have
actually been filling in. I got, for Christmas a year ago, I got a memory book from my daughter-in-law, and I got one from my niece that they want to know about my growing up and families. And of course, they're written for somebody who's of a different generation than I am.
Yes.
And who grew up in an urban area, not a rural one.
Yes.
Which high school did you go to? Which grades? Well, the same one, basically.
Yes.
anyway, I have been filling that in.
Okay.
I quit right at the moment because somehow or other it decided I had edited out a whole page, and I'm not in the mood to go back and reconstruct that at the moment because I cannot figure out how to get it back. It won't. It's got lines all the way through it.
Okay.
Well, so I put that on the back burner right now. You can do that when you're retired.
That's very true.
You can put things on the back burner.
Yeah, your priorities can shift and go in many different directions on a daily, hourly basis.
And
yes.
If anybody offers anything more fun to do, I will. But don't come to my house and complain about the dusting, because you don't need to come back if you're going to.
You're not a Hazel, huh?
Oh, heavens, no. And I knew a Hazel that was that fastidious.
Oh.
Yeah. No, not me.
No. Mm-mm. No, not at all.
But if the wall needs to be washed, let's just repaint it. Did a lot of painting this winter.
If I
still had a cat, it would be blue.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The cat is gone now.
Cat is gone.
Okay.
My grandson asked me if I didn't need something to replace the cat. Do you need another cat? No. Do you need a dog? No. Do you need a turtle? No. Do you need fish? No. When he got to the tortoise and the parrot, and I told him how long they lived, he decided he'd shut up.
Oh.
I have one houseplant I didn't kill.
Is surviving in spite of you?
Well, now it's kind of a challenge because I didn't think it would make it. I thought it was dead. I just, didn't leave it sitting on the porch because I was going to kick my toe against it.
I see. Mm-hmm.
But it's still alive.
Still alive. Just to spite you, I'm sure.
I'm sure it's just to spite me because now if I want to go someplace, I can just go. I have nothing that's holding me.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So you spend extensive time in West Des Moines. Do you travel? Do you like to travel? Where are some of the great landmarks you've seen, or where have you gone?
Oh, good.
Maybe not anywhere. That's your business. I just thought I'd ask. Have you been overseas? I won't ask any more questions.
No, I have not been overseas.
Okay.
I'm probably the only one in my family that hasn't, of my siblings. But my favorite place was the trip I made to Hawaii, but that's also, definitely another century ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been through most of the states west of the Mississippi.
Okay.
I've missed Alaska and Louisiana, and I've been through the South, but I've been to Boston, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy going places. I enjoy food different places, but I also have absolutely no problem staying home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You are happy with your own company.
I pretty much have
and the
to
dust.
Be. And the dust. I've named the dust bunnies.
Now, Mary Beth, just as a suggestion, in my life, which this program is not about me, but I will go on bus trips and see things by myself. I will go on cruises by myself.
Yeah.
I will go traveling by myself. I'm not adverse to being with people. Yes, I like people, and I do also travel with people. But I'm not saying that's something you have to choose, but I just love doing that too. So I had to get out of my own backyard occasionally. That's just me. But if you're happy in your backyard?
Well, I have, I don't have any great overwhelming need to go anywhere.
No.
For one thing, in this day and age,
yes.
You can find out about elsewhere so easily.
Yes, yes.
And I'm okay with just being me. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Periodically over the last quarter century, I've had people who have needed a place to live, and they've come to live with me.
Mm-hmm.
I've sort of gained two extra granddaughters because of that with my great-nieces.
Oh, yes.
And somebody once asked me why I still had a big house. Well, I seem to manage to put people into it.
Maybe you should call it Hotel Mary Beth.
Well,
Mary Beth
somebody
Manor.
Said it was, it, I should open a B&B.
Oh!
Mary Beth's B&B without the second B.
Oh, I think it'd be...
You're such a good audience, Scott.
That's why I think you should just go and get a spot on stage somewhere. Yes. You should go up to Scooby-Doo's and have Mary Beth Knight.
Scooby-Doo's.
Yes, and you could entertain people.
I think Julie would let me do that.
I can't speak for her, but she'd be a fool to pass that up. So, tell stories.
If I have discovered nothing else over my lifetime,
yes,
and playing the cards I've been dealt,
yes,
humor is a saving grace. And I'm of the Jack Benny school of humor. If you're going to make fun of something, make sure it's you.
Well.
And I'm going to do things that are going to make somebody shake their head. And I might just as well point out the fact that I've done them and mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, make fun of myself. Why not?
I think that's an enduring quality.
And humor has gotten...
Yes.
Has gotten me through a lot, mm-hmm, over the last quarter century. Mm-hmm. It's been a... don't ever ask me to play 90s Trivial Pursuit. I cannot do it.
Okay.
I don't remember much of anything.
No, I'm sure you don't. No, I understand.
And don't ever let anybody tell you it totally goes away. It doesn't.
It's
always there. Always hiding.
Yes. I'm sure that's very, very true. Yes. Very, very true. To lose somebody of any age at any time, you know, as you just said, people say time heals all wounds. No.
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 You get a scab.
Yes, a scab.
And yes, occasionally, you know, the scab gets picked off,
yes,
too soon. But
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, and it, your listeners aren't going to know this.
Right.
So maybe I should just not talk about it. I don't know.
It's your choice.
When, first losing my son.
Right.
When it was a curable cancer.
Right.
And then, so shortly thereafter, because mm-hmm, it was less than 2 years, losing my husband,
mm-hmm,
I wasn't sure survival was actually possible.
Right.
But I had two exceptionally good sons.
They are
wonderful men.
Yes.
I cannot say enough good about them.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
having to be there for them,
right,
did a lot to get me going.
Yes.
And then discovering that if I could find things that were funny, especially when it came to my own health.
Yes.
I can give you a really, really, really good description of my heart attack.
And what would that description be? What? I'm sure my listening audience
it's better with a glass of wine.
Better with a glass of wine.
Yes.
You heard it here, folks. Is that a medical miracle right there? Better with a glass of wine. All right. Well, how do you think that a fellow cardiologist would react to that line?
Well, it's been long enough ago. I have outlasted all but one of the cardiologists that I saw to begin with.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you look like you're in great health.
Looks are deceiving.
No. I know that too.
No. I'm feeling really good.
Wow.
I don't intend to quit yet, in case you're wondering.
No, I never.
This is not my swan song.
No. I don't think I'll ever be ready for a swan song.
And are my sons going to be ready for what I'm saying today?
Well, surely they are used to you speaking your mind at any time. I mean, I don't mean that negatively.
No.
I mean, really. So I don't know.
It's gotten worse as I've gotten older.
I see. All right. Well, Mary Beth, I would love to keep visiting with you, but they had to cut me off after so much time.
Oh, you mean I don't rate more than one show?
I just had to talk to the management about that.
He's not going to let me ever come back.
Well, you know, actually, I think you should just come to the radio station and just say, guys, record me. I've got things to say today. And how about a podcast, Mary Beth? You'd be excellent at a podcast.
Then I'd have to learn how to do that.
Oh, I see. Okay. There is some technology involved with that, yes.
Well, it's not that I can't.
Yeah.
It's just that I have chosen so far not to.
I see.
I still have the capabilities. Mm-hmm. I just don't have the overwhelming need to do it.
Yes. Well, someday you may feel that, you know. Or write a memoir. Have you thought of that?
It has been suggested by one person.
Yes.
I think they're out of their ever-loving guard. So.
You might learn some things, some self-reflection on your part.
I do a lot of self-reflection.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. When you live alone, you can do a lot of self-reflection.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't change anything, but you can do a lot of self-reflection.
I find that true.
It would be easy, Scott, if you just do it with me, because you're such a good audience. And yes, there's enough of a ham in me that I play up to the audience.
That's why I think you'd be a great stand-up comedian.
Live audiences cannot be beaten.
No, that's part of the reason why I like teaching, too.
Yes.
You had, well, not always a live audience. But
some days that was in question.
Woo! Oh, my. Hello, is there life out there? But most of the time, yes.
Well, so, Mary, one last thing.
Of course.
When you've taught and you're in a group and the leader of the group asks a question or something like that, you are compelled to not let there be silence.
Yes.
You are compelled to say something, anything to get it started, because you know they're dying up there.
Yes, yes, that's very true. Yes, and as educators.
That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it.
All right, well, thank you. You know that you can put on a T-shirt. You'd have enough room. So anyway, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, your viewpoint about life, your longevity here at Forest City Community.
Yep, I'm not dead yet.
Nor do I ever want that to happen to you. And I hope that you stay away from your swan song as long as possible.
I'm working on it.
All right. Well, folks, there you have it. The one, the only, Grand Madame of the Forest City Community, Mary Beth Woolridge. I hope that you'll come back again sometime. Mary Beth will be listening. And I just hope that all of you in Mr. B's neighborhood realize the importance of reaching across the fence and saying hi to your neighbor. And if your dog defecates on their lawn, pick it up. All right, see you later. Bye-bye.
You've just heard another installment of Mr. B's Neighborhood. Tune in to KIOW Mix 107.3 every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. for Mr. B's Neighborhood. Missed a show or want to re-listen to one? Find episodes in podcast form at KIOW.com. It's located on the right-hand side of the homepage. Mr. B's Neighborhood, available at KIOW.com.